Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message.
Today is Men's Sunday. And ladies, I just want to focus on the men today. So will y'all allow me to do that? I'm using the Word of God. It's applicable to everyone. But I'm really going to be pointing in on the men today. Multiple scriptures, and I just want to teach. My goal is not to be before you long at all. I just want to touch on a few things for the men. If we could look with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, and I will read it. And then I also want us to write down these Hebrews 4 and 15. And then I'd like for you to also write down Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14, and then Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. I will be using those scriptures to teach this morning. Galatians 5, 16 through 21, Romans 13, 12 through 14, and we're now 1 John 2 and 16, and then Hebrews 4 and 15. 1 John 2 and 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2, 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Keep that in mind. It is of the world. When we look at all of those things, they're of the world. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And that's why I love that song that came before Jesus. No greater name. This scripture here is speaking of Jesus, our high priest. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And I will start teaching today with those two verses. Heavenly Father, I come to you now asking for your guidance, for you to speak through me so that every man that hears, every male that hears this word on today walks away with something that helps them to change their lives, to grow, to be better, to do better, to build a stronger relationship with your son, Jesus Christ, and to be a light unto this world and a helper to another man. And God, I will forever give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. I pray now that you let Vincent sit down and you take control of my thoughts, my mind, my lips, my tongue, that everything that I say pleases you and goes forth to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I read those two passages of scripture because I want to deal with the men today with the topic of living righteous in an unrighteous world. Living righteous in an unrighteous world. Talking with the men, because God has called us today to be the leaders in our homes, in our families, because as we go, so do our children, our homes, family, the city, the state, and the nation. As men go, the country follows. Not saying that women aren't important, but men have been called to be the leaders, especially in the home with our children. They're going to look at us and say, wow, I want to be like my daddy. Because children are the glory of the fathers. And so we as men, we're being watched. And we have to understand at all times, we are helping to shape the minds and the actions of those who watch us. It reminds me of this poem that I've used before in dealing with a little one. And it says, the little chap that follows me, it could be a woman, a young girl or daughter, a son, but it says, a careful man I want to be. A little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear he'll go the self same way. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be that little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer suns and winter snows, I'm building for the years to be that little chap who follows me. Living righteous in an unrighteous world. Why is it important? Because people are watching us, men. Our children are watching us. And no matter what we say, it all comes down to what we do. To what we do. And as men, we have so many pressures and so many demands on us at times. And sometimes we just want to quit. We want to give up. We get depressed. The prophets themselves got depressed. We want a way just to get away, to escape. And sometimes we even want a way just to dull the pain. And some men get to a point to where they wish they could just start over, just be by themselves. We look around and we look at others and see that some are doing better than we are. And we say, what am I doing that they are not doing? And we begin that concept of comparison, the stealer of joy. We begin comparing ourselves, not knowing necessarily what that person is doing in order to get the things that they have. We don't necessarily know, unless we know that they are righteous, what they're doing to acquire those things. Why am I saying that? I want the men to think today. I came across these questions. They're not mine. They were some questions by Kent Hughes. He was asking men these questions. So I'm going to pose these questions to you today, men, as I talk about living righteous in an unrighteous world. When we look at all the things in the world, are we just really being desensitized by the evil in the world? It's a way of life. Do we just see it? Do things that used to just shock us no longer have any effect on us at all. It's just a custom. It's just the way life is now. Have our sexual ethics given way to the ways of the world? Have they just slacked off? I'm talking to the men today, women. I'm talking to the men living righteous in an unrighteous world. Men, where do our minds go to when we don't have anything to do? What are we thinking about? Where is our mind wandering off to? What are we reading? What's in our libraries? Do we have books and things in our libraries that we don't even want others to see? And our libraries now even consist of our phones and social media, talking about living righteous in an unrighteous world. What are we watching on Netflix, Hulu, Sling TV? Stories filled with violence? Stories filled with adultery? How many of those things did we watch last week? And Pastor not telling you you can't watch TV. I want to say that. Pastor not telling you you can't watch things on Netflix. No, I don't want y'all to think I'm talking about, but I want us to be cognizant of why all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, being mindful of what we see and the impact it has on us as far as our living righteous, because the impact of our living has great consequences, not only here and now, but eternal consequences. I just want to talk to the men. How many murders did we watch? We see it on the news, but just sitting down in the movies and the things that we watch. How many of these things did we even watch with our children? And in the midst of all of this, I have one final question for the men. And I want you to understand that when I say the men, I'm talking about me too. Me also, because why? This word comes first to me before it comes to you. And I just want us to live righteous in an unrighteous world. And the last question he posed to the men was, how many chapters of the Bible did we read last week? In the midst of everything that we did, how many chapters, verses of the Bible did we read last week? How do we live righteous in an unrighteous world? If we look at Romans, try to go there real quick. Hallelujah. Romans, and we're going to look at chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Men, I want us to remember verse 14, because then we're going to see a lot of this when I take us over to Galatians. And I know you may be saying, why is he talking about this? Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Why am I going there today? Men, you know, we're competitive by nature. We always want to win. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We want to win. And I'm just saying, we want to win. But we have to be mindful of the things that we do. We can't just be like the world and do all types of things. We have to choose how we're going to live. Why do I say men are competitive? Look at sports. Y'all know it's football season. Nobody likes to lose. They go out there, they hit hard, they play, and they play hard. They're hitting one another because why? They want to win. But here's a statement that anybody in sports, I'm talking, and ladies, I'm talking to the men today. I'm talking to the men. We have heard this phrase before, and this is the way of the world. When it comes to winning, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Come on, can I get some amens? Some men, come on, help me say that. Come on, can I get an amen? Any man heard that?
Amen.
Amen. In the world, it says, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. What is that? And I say, what does God say about that? Because we want to win. We want to win at all costs, but we have to live godly and righteous in an unrighteous world. Y'all don't believe me. Why do we constantly see players being suspended for PEDs? Why do we see colleges being placed on probation for ineligible players? Why? Because they're doing whatever it takes to win. Whatever it takes to get that young man to campus, we're going to do it. We only in trouble if we get caught. If we ain't cheating, we ain't trying. And if we ain't trying to win, that means we not cheat. But what does God say about it, men? What does God say about it? How do I live righteous in an unrighteous world when those around me are doing those things? How do I stand for what is right? Talking to the men today in our groups and dealing with men, some men having issues at home with their spouses, having issues in their relationships. The world says, if we watch TV, the world says it's all right to have a girlfriend and a wife. Y'all may not want to, y'all ain't gonna get no amens on this today. The world says it's all right to have a girlfriend and a wife. But what does God say about it? How do you live righteous in an unrighteous world? Y'all, even on TV, they had a show. I'm going to leave it nameless, but I know y'all know. The president even had a girlfriend. Y'all know the show I'm talking about. The president. So if the president had a girlfriend and a wife, it's saying it's okay. But what does God say about it? Get stressed at home. Things not going right. The boys on the street say, man, you don't have to deal with that. You know what you can do. Hey, but what does God say about it? And I'm just going to tell you, it's even in the pulpit, even in the churches, they're saying it's all right to have a girlfriend and a wife. But how do we live righteous in an unrighteous world? A white lie. It's all right to tell a little lie to gain an advantage. I can falsify a document here or there to give me a competitive advantage, to get that job, to get insight. I can overstate my qualifications just a little bit. I got to take care of my family. I got to provide. I need this promotion. I got to do it the way the world says do it. Just a little white lie. A white lie ain't going to hurt nobody. What does God say about it? What does God say about it? It's kill or be killed. Men know that's kill or be. We got to do some things. I need to get me a little side hustle. Got to make a little extra cash. It don't matter what I do. Do a little something under the table, a little legal, just to make a little cash. I got to feed the children. Baby need a new pair of shoes. It's all right. The world says I can take it under the table. I can do it like this. I can sling a little whatever on the side.
Preach, Pastor.
I can do that. But what does God say about it? I said, I'm talking to the men today. And why am I talking to the men? Because it gets hard sometimes, and then that takes us back to 1 John. 1 John, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. Remember, we're living in this world. What does God say about it? The lust of the flesh, what is that? Strong desires for things of the flesh, that sin nature. And Satan uses the eye gate, the lust of the eyes, to entice. I'm talking to the men today because you know what? The first thing we say, ooh, didn't that look good? Whatever it is, didn't it look good? We don't talk about how it made us feel. Our thoughts about it, our emotion, we don't get them. We say, ooh, did not that look good? And Satan knows. And so he puts things at our forefront in our eyes in this unrighteous world, and he wants to bring us down. All that's in the world is deception. It's smoke and mirrors. It appears to look good. It appears attractive, but all he wants to do is kill you. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, arrogance. Man, are we arrogant today? There's a difference between being confident and arrogant. So I give you that scripture to say, what am I doing? So how do I get beyond this? I have to put my trust in the Lord. I have to put my trust in the Lord, because all of this stuff that's going on, the world is saying it's all right. The world is saying it's all right. But let me just teach today. Let's just go over to Galatians. Galatians. Pastor, you've been saying all this stuff, but how do we live right? How do we live righteous? Well, I'm going to tell you, but I want you to get an understanding of what the world says is okay. And if you see yourself in some of this stuff, we just got to pray. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's your answer. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. The world is telling you it's okay. Whatever you're going through, here's what you can do to dull your pain. Here's what you can do to forget about it. But what does God say about it? It says, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Men, we can't do it. Call me what you want to. I don't care. I'm living for the Lord. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that ye would. Going back and forth. The flesh is wanting you to do this. Flesh wanting you to do that. The ungodly stuff. But how do you live godly? How do you live righteous? You got to give in to the spirit. But if ye be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. And some of us, we've seen this scripture before, and we've gone down it, and we see all these words, and sometimes we just glance over them. Today, I'm talking to the men because it deals with us. I want you to look. Now, the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The implications. We do these things, we won't inherit the kingdom of God. We do these things, we cause our children and our family members to go astray. I remember growing up, I had men, ungodly men, telling me, this is what you need to do. This is how you do this. This is how you treat women. This is what you do. When things don't go right, here's how you do it. All unbiblical, according to the word of God. How do I live righteous? It's according to scripture. So now let me give you an understanding. And it's so, and God puts this at the forefront. The first thing in the list is adultery. God just put that up there because men, we see things and we want to go after things that don't belong to us, especially when we say, well, they don't know who I am. I'm Mac Daddy. I can do all this. But I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. It says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. But the world tells you it's all right. Television tells you it's all right. All the shows on TV tell you it's all right. But what does God say about it? We must go against the world. It talks about adultery, fornication. We're going down the list because I want us to get an understanding, man, unclean. What is this all about? Adultery and fornication is just immorality. Immorality. Lack of restraint when it comes to sexual desires. Illicit sexual activity. Sexual immoralness. Wickedness. Premarital sex. Incest, bestiality, homosexuality, prostitution, all of that falls under adultery and fornication. Now, what does the world say? The world says it's all right. But what does God say? We cannot do it and live righteous in this unrighteous world. Uncleanness, breaking it down for the men. Because when we want to get by ourselves a lot and we just start thinking things. Uncleanness, impurity, impure thoughts, filth, rottenness. Anything we do that is dirty. It's talking about dealing with that mind here. Lasciviousness. Here again, why is the writer going back to this? Lasciviousness, sexual excess, and indulgence. Indulgence. That's why I say I'm talking to the men. Because even in the church, I know y'all, I'm touching on something that just doesn't get touched on. And God, one of the major problems we have with men, and we just won't admit it, and it permeates from the pulpit to the floor, is pornography in the church. And so now we're looking at how do we live righteous? We've got to watch what we do. Lasciviousness, adultery. I'm running down the list. Anything before God. Men, what are we putting before God? What are the things that we're doing? Witchcraft. This used to be a word coming out of sorcery and dealing with, not sorcery, but dealing with pharmaceuticals. And that's where we get our word pharmacy from. But it also deals with mind changing drugs, sorcery, mind-altering drugs, occult, and magic. I'm not talking about when we're talking about illusions, when someone's doing tricks. I'm talking about magic, spells, things of those nature. What's permeating our atmosphere? What's permeating television today? Magic. What God says about it, hatred. Hostility, ill will, animosity towards one another. Variance, this whole thing of quarreling, fighting. I told you, men don't like to lose. But to what extent are we going to achieve the things that we want? Are we doing it the way of the world? Kill or be killed. Contention. Now, if we look at emulations, this one got me. Jealousy. Wanting or desiring what others have. Told you when men get by themselves, start thinking why they have that and I can't have it. Then we start doing all kinds of things to get it, ungodly ways to do it. But we have to hold fast to God, to trust and depend on him. Wrath. This is terrible anger, outbursts of anger. How many of us can't control our tempers? How many of us, when we start to raise our voice, people in the house start to back up because they don't know what to expect. How do we live righteous? We cannot do these things, men. Strife. Here again, selfishness. Selfish rivalry. Contention, fighting, quarreling. All of these words are meaning somewhat of the same thing. Strife, sowing discord. Seditions, dissension. Splitting off into our own groups. Isolating ourselves from one another, creating divisions. Heresies, the same thing, creating factions. Everybody is wrong but your group. Everybody is wrong but your group. That's what we're dealing with, the heresies. Envious, envyings. Jealousy again. Begrudging what others have. Murderers. Kill or be killed. Kill or be killed. We're willing to kill for what we want. David did it, had Uriah killed because he wanted Bathsheba. Had Uriah killed because he committed adultery with that man's wife. Drunkenness, excessive overindulgence, insobriety, debauchery. Don't even get on that. Just turning it up like ain't no tomorrow. But the world says it's okay. Got a lot going on. Just drink your sorrows away. Drown them. And then the last one, 17 of these things, revelings. I just don't understand. God closed with this. What is that? Rioting, wild parties, giving license to basic urges, lack of moderation or restraint. This thing deals with orgies. Now, why did I put all this out there? Because I said, men, how do we live righteous in an unrighteous world? Well, I had to show you what the world is like. I had to show you this paints a picture of what's in the world. All that's in the world is what? The lust of the flesh. Here in Galatians 5, we find out what those lusts of the flesh are. Now the question becomes, what is my lifestyle as a man? What is my lifestyle as a man? Because it's saying walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill these lusts. Am I fulfilling any of these lusts? If so, that means I'm walking according to the world standards. I'm living according to the world, and therefore I'm not a good example. I'm not a good example to my family. I'm not a good example to my son. I'm not a good example. No matter how hard it gets, we talked about this yesterday. How do I navigate? How do I get through the storm? Storms of life are going to come, men, but how do we do it? We hold on to the things which are right, the principles, the word of God, no matter what the world says. We hold on to righteousness. And that's how we live righteous in an unrighteous world. James 1, 13 and 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own, here we go, what? Lust. And enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Why is it so important that we live righteous, men? Because the ultimate result is death. Here, James is telling you, it just don't happen overnight. You don't just don't decide to sin overnight. You don't just decide to live an unrighteous overnight. What is it? It is a process. James here outlines a process. Every man is tempted. That word means to be drawn away. It's almost like wild game being put into a trap. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's almost like being captured with bait. It's enticing. It's there. It's in front of your eyes. You see it. You want it. You desire it. It's okay to be tempted, but yielding to it leads to death. Men, we cannot be like the world. We cannot fall prey because Satan desires to sift us as wheat. He wants to kill us because if he destroys the man, he's got access to everything. If he binds the strong man, he has access to the house. We have to live righteous in an unrighteous world.
Hallelujah.
It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. I like this. When lust hath conceived, every man can't be tempted the same way. What tempts me may not tempt you. It's his own lust. Every man is drawn away of his own lust, his own desires, his strong desires of his soul to acquire things, something he wants to fulfill of the flesh. What is it that you want so bad, man? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. What the world say? Man, it's so bad. What's that in your heart? It's personal. It's your individual flesh. What happened? It begins as a thought. Grows in the mind. It's a process. It's conceived. If you don't abort it, it gives birth to sin. And sin is what? Death. Spiritual death, first and foremost. But some of the actions, when we want things so bad, we're willing to steal, kill, and rob for it, can lead to physical death. It all begins with thought in the mind. Now y'all say, Pastor, I ain't come for this day, but it's man. The reason I'm talking about this, because it's so hard. It's so hard. And I know I'm talking to the men today, but ladies, treat them right.
Preach, Pastor, preach.
Treat them right. Treat them, the men in your life, like they mean something. Give them some self-worth, some self-esteem. Love them so that they don't look to the world for the things that they want. Provide the things that you're supposed to provide to meet their needs as a mother, as a daughter, as an aunt. Be that light in a man's world so he doesn't look to the world. So, well, how he gonna look to the world? Why should I do that? Why should I help him out? He the man. He supposed to know everything. Yeah, he knows everything, but it gets hard. Jesus was a man, but he was tempted. He was tempted in all points like unto we are, but yet without sin. Satan came to him three times, tempted him after he was on a 40-day fast. Came to him, said, I give you all this stuff. Now, how many of us men, we get an opportunity and say, man, all you got to do is run down here. I give you all of this. So I'm making it real now. I give you all of it. All you got to do is just do this one thing for me. You'll never have to worry about money again. You never have to worry about this again. But is it righteous? Is it the right thing to do? Because, man, we're going to be tempted. We're going to be tested. And at the end of the day, are you going to run out your coat like Joseph did? And at the end of the day, are you going to maintain and build the ark? At the end of the day, are you going to go into a foreign country like Abraham, as the Lord said? At the end of the day, are you going to be righteous? How do I do it, Pastor? How do I live righteous? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communication corrupts good manners. I'm going to break it down real quick for the men. These your boys. These your running partners. Who you hang with. Who you associate with. Because whatever they do by word or deed, bad or evil friends are corrupting influence. Don't say I can just hang out at, no. Well, Jesus went in, he ate with him, he delivered the word, and he got up out of there. He didn't run with him. He lived righteous among them, so much so, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. They wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to get rid of him. Why? I told y'all this stuff in the pulpit as well. Take me over to Matthew, hallelujah. I'm trying to wrap it up today, man. Y'all pray for the pastor. I have your concern at heart. Matthew chapter 23, verse 15. Look at Jesus. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He talking to church folk now. He talking to church leaders right now. I told y'all this stuff is in the church. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye compass the sea and land to make one proselyte. Uh-oh. The word says, go ye therefore. Preach the gospel. All do everything they need to do to get one. Get them in the church. Get them in the church. Oh, y'all do all this stuff. Go all over the world. Revivals, do everything to try to get them in the church. But look at Jesus here. And go compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, oh, when you got it, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Come, did this Bible here, this G, I'm telling you, this in the church, what is it? Are the preachers living righteous in an unrighteous world? Because here the scripture, Jesus saying, y'all go and try to get all these people to fill up the church. And then when you get them in the church, you make them worse than you. Doing all kinds of things that are contrary to the word of God. He says, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. That means they already wrong. Then they bringing in people, making them twice as wrong as they are. I'm talking to the men of God. I'm talking to the men of God. I'm talking to the men today. It's permeating through the church. How do I live righteous in an unrighteous world? It's in the church. I got to hang with the right people. I'm getting ready to bring it home. I done told you all this stuff, what it means. How do I live righteous? It's all about choice. It's all about choice. Life is about choice. I'm saying, choose ye this day who you going to serve. Life is about choice. You choose whether or not you want to marry somebody. You choose whether or not you want to do this. You choose. God gives you free will. You have choice. And in order to live righteous in an unrighteous world, it has to be a personal choice. I can't choose it for you. Grandma can't choose it for you. Mama can't choose it for you. I can pray for it for you, but I can't choose it for you. I have to make a choice to want to live righteous. I have to realize that I can't do it on my own. I have to realize that I'm a sinner. I have to realize that I live amongst ungodly people. But I must realize that if I know Jesus, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. First and foremost, how do I walk righteous? How do I live righteous in an unrighteous world? I need to know Jesus. If there's a man out there today that does not know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to repent of your sins. You need the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Why? Because I tell people, if you ain't saved, don't say what you won't do. If you're not guided by the Spirit, don't say what you won't do. Why? Because Galatians 5 just told us what you'll do, because you'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't live righteous in an unrighteous world without Jesus Christ. I got to walk in the Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
How do I walk in the Spirit? I got to feed the Spirit. I got to hang around with people of the same mindset. I'm not going to say I'm not going to make any mistakes. I'm not going to say that I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to say I'm not going to go through a storm. But oh, did we learn yesterday, when I go through the storm, I got to be with some brothers that's going to give me a hand up. I got to be with some men that are going to tell me, no, you can't go it that way. This is the way you need to do it. I'm going to associate myself with some men that are going to punch me in the face, sometimes figuratively as well as literally, to get me on the right track. I'm talking about men being men.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Preach,
Pastor. If you're scared, say you're scared. We can pray the fear out of you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. I'm concerned about the men, because I even on the news, I saw that the men in college are dropping out. They're not even being prepared. There's more women in college getting education, getting degrees than men. What's going on? We're losing our place in the land. We're losing it because we don't have godly examples of what it takes to be a man. Every man doesn't have to go to college, but every man needs to learn something. Every man needs to be able to provide. And how can a man learn unless another man teaches him? Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Got to live right in an unrighteous world. Who do I hang with? What do I read? Where do I go? What do I do? Now, Pastor, not saying you can't have fun. Y'all know I love me some football. But I'm godly. I act righteous. I live a life that people know it's a difference. Not saying you got to be all pious at all times and holier than thou, but your lifestyle must be exemplify the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. How do I do it? I have to submit my life, my will unto God. I have to submit my ways unto the Lord. I have to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. I have to acknowledge that I'm nothing without him. In order for me to be the man, I must realize that I have to depend on another man. And that's hard for a man to do, to say I got to depend on another man. But oh, this man is not only a man, but he is God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. If you want to live righteous in an unrighteous world, we got to let go of self. Got to let go of the ways of the world. They say, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Well, if you ain't praying, you ain't trying. If you ain't reading the Bible, you ain't trying. If you ain't going to prayer meeting, you ain't trying. Oh, hallelujah. If you ain't associating with godly men, you ain't trying. If you can't be rebuked and corrected, you ain't trying. Men today. Today, men, I close. How do I live righteous in an unrighteous world? I got to trust and depend on God, surround myself with the brethren. But first and foremost, I need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because the pressures of this world will get you down. And the pressures of the world will start you to focus on how the world deals with it. But how the world deals with things is not the way we deal with it, because the ways of the world are attractive. I always tell people, if there was no pleasure in sin, people wouldn't do it. But all the end is death of yourself and your family. Men today, live righteous in this unrighteous world.
For more information about true holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.